please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Our message series is called Famous Mothers in the Bible, and each year around Mother's Day, we take one or two, sometimes 3 weeks, and we work our way through this series. And this is actually the series that we'll be talking about on the radio this week with Moody, and we're basically just working our way forward through the Bible, looking at various mothers, what we can learn from their lives. And as you've seen already throughout the series, some of these mothers serve as positive examples for us to follow. Other times they serve more as warnings, right? To protect us from similar mistakes that we could make in our lives that could hurt us and our families. And unfortunately, today's mother falls under the bad example category, okay? Today we're looking at Athaliah, the wicked mother. In fact, if you take all of the bad mother examples in the Bible and put them all together, I don't think you even equal Athaliah. She is the baddest of the bad, the worst of the worst, easily the worst mother of them all. Good thing we're getting her out of the way before actual Mother's Day, huh? And as we study Athaliah this morning, I do want to say this. I know there are some mothers here today. You know, mothering is not an easy job. And you might be coming in today, maybe it was a rough week, you might be feeling discouraged. I don't want anyone walking out of here, you know, sort of punishing yourself, saying, bad mother, to yourself today. You know, we can all feel like bad mothers or bad fathers at times. But trust me on this, okay? No matter how badly you or I may have failed as parents this week, you ain't got nothing on Athaliah, okay? You have no idea what we're heading into over the next 30 minutes. So we're in 2 Chronicles 22. I'm going to read verses 2 and 3 as we get started. Let's stand together as we hear the word of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 22 is picking up at verse 2. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. He too walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. Let that settle for a moment as we pray over the message. Dear God, as we head into this message, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to buckle up and be ready for just an amazingly horrible story as we look at this wicked mother from your word. And Lord, help us to learn from her example, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, a couple of years ago, I came across probably the most shocking obituary I've read in my whole life. Never seen anything like this. Right there in the public papers for all to see. I saved it in my files, copied and pasted, saved it in my files under the name Bad Father Obituary. I said, someday I'm going to have a chance to use this. When I started studying Athaliah, I said, oh boy, this is the week. Let me share some of it with you. I won't read the whole thing, but imagine reading this in your morning paper. Lawrence H. Pfaff Sr. was born in Belmont, New York on April 16th, 1941. He passed away on June 27th, 2022, living a long life, much longer than he deserved. He is survived by his 3 children. No, 4. Oops. 5 children. Well, as of 2022, we believe there's 1 more that we know about, but there could be more than that. His love was abundant when it came to himself, but for his children, it was limited. From a young age, he was a ladies' man and an abusive alcoholic, solidifying his commitment to both with the path of destruction he left behind, damaging his adult children and leaving them broken. Lawrence Sr.'s hobbies included abusing his first wife and children. He possesses no redeeming qualities for his children, including the ones he knew and the ones he knew about. It will be challenging to Miss Lawrence Sr. because he was narcissistic. He was incapable of love. Lawrence Sr.'s passing proves that evil does eventually die, and it marks a time of healing which will allow his children to get the closure they deserve. Lawrence Sr. can be remembered for being a father to many and a dad to none. No one wants to be remembered as a bad mother or father. But the mother we come to in our study today is remembered primarily for her wickedness and how her wickedness impacted those around her, especially her own family. Now, the Bible tells us a person reaps what they sow, and the wicked person sows the seeds of their own destruction. And so today we're going to look at the bad influence, the destructive behavior, and the tragic end of Athaliah, the wicked mother. There's an outline in your worship guide if you dare to take it out and follow along this morning in our story. We begin with her bad influence. A bad influence as a mother on her son. But, you know, when we talk about her bad influence as a mother, we have to go further back. We need to talk about her bad influence as a wife as well. Her husband's name was Jehoram. Jehoram was a despicable man, largely due to the influence of Athaliah, his wife. When Jehoram became king, first thing he did, killed all of his brothers. Killed all of his brothers. It's like, okay, nobody else can take the throne now. I've got this. Although he ruled in the southern kingdom of Judah, and in Judah, that's where some good kings at least reigned. Judah, the Bible says he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel. No good kings reigned in Israel. He walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done. For he married a daughter of Ahab. Oh, Athaliah is a daughter of Ahab. Short history lesson here, okay? Ahab was the son of Omri. Who is Omri? Omri was the worst king Israel ever had until Ahab came along. And then Ahab was the new worst king ever. You might remember Ahab, he was the one who tussled with the prophet Elijah. Ahab married Jezebel, by the way, another horrible mother. Jezebel proceeded to kill the prophets of the Lord. It was under Jezebel's influence that Ahab begins to worship Baal. Here he is a king of Israel, under God Almighty, worshiping Baal. The Bible tells us that Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all of the kings of Israel before him. Ahab was a king of Israel. Jehoram was a king of Judah. But we're told Jehoram followed in Ahab's ways. Why? Because he married Athaliah, who was the daughter of Ahab. And so her wicked influence, that begins with her husband long before it spread to her son. God afflicted Jehoram, her husband, with a terrible disease. He died a painful and dishonorable death. The Bible gives him the bad obituary treatment. We read in 2 Chronicles 21, his obituary. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. He passed away to no one's regret. That's in the Bible. And was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. We haven't even got started yet, okay? That now brings us to Jehoram's son, Ahaziah. Ahaziah's mother, Athaliah, who up to this time has only been mentioned as a daughter of Ahab. And the very first thing we learn about Athaliah as a mother, we read it earlier in the opening scripture, is she encouraged her own son to do wrong. She encouraged her own son to do wrong. Let's look at those verses again. Ahaziah, that's her son. He was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, a granddaughter of Omri. And he too walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. Now, we all make mistakes as parents, right? But I hope the one thing we don't do is intentionally encourage our children to do wrong. I mean, that is just so wrong, right? And yet that's exactly what Athaliah did with her son Ahaziah. I mean, one of the most basic responsibilities we have as parents is to teach our children right from wrong, right? And encourage them, yeah, we're supposed to encourage them to choose the right instead of the wrong. Proverbs 13:5 says, "The righteous hate what is false, but the wicked bring shame and disgrace." And so the righteous parent hates that which is wrong. They steer their child away from it, while the wicked parent only brings shame and disgrace upon their families. Jesus himself warned against leading children into evil rather than good. He said this, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin." So watch yourselves. The book of Romans condemns those who, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, you may not be encouraging your children to do wrong. I hope you're not. But are you teaching and encouraging them to do right? That's the first thing we learn about Athaliah, the wicked mother. She encouraged her own son to do wrong. Secondly, she surrounded her son with unwise counsel. With unwise counsel. Look at verses 4 through 7. Ahaziah did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as the house of Ahab had done. For after his father's death, they became his advisors to his undoing. He also followed their counsel when he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Aram. And through Ahaziah's visit to Joram, God brought about Ahaziah's downfall. Athaliah surrounded her son with unwise counsel, which eventually led to his downfall and his death. You see, our children need guidance and direction in life. And so it is essential that we surround them with wise counsel, right? And this includes bringing them to church, reading the Bible and praying with them, encouraging good friendships, helping them to be discerning when it comes to the programs they watch, the books that they read, the music they listen to, and their engagement with social media. And you know, the book of Proverbs, that's our go-to book in the Bible, right? When it comes to learning wisdom, when it comes to wise counsel. Proverbs 4:19 speaks of the foolishness of the wicked. "But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." Proverbs 12:26 speaks of the importance of wise friendships. "A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." Proverbs 22:6 encourages parents to raise their children in the wisdom and instruction of the Lord. "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." There's no way around this. Athaliah was a bad influence. She influenced her husband to follow in the ways of Ahab. She encouraged her own son to do wrong. She surrounded her son with unwise counsel, which eventually led to his undoing. Strike one. Now we come to strike two. Next, our passage shows us Athaliah's destructive behavior. Her destructive behavior. First, she destroyed her own household. Look at verses 10 and 11. "When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she proceeded to destroy the whole royal family of the house of Judah. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Joash, son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the royal princes who were about to be murdered, and put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So when Ahaziah died, his wife, Athaliah, she literally, okay, I mean, literally did this, destroyed her own household by murdering all of Ahaziah's sons who might possibly have succeeded him as king. Now, it's possible that her husband had multiple wives, okay? He wasn't a good king, right? So these may not have been all of her own children that she was killing, but these were still the sons of her husband. These were members of her own household. By God's providence and grace, one son, Joash, just one son, survived this onslaught. It was Ahaziah's sister, Jehoshaphat, took Joash, just a little baby, hid him in a bedroom with his nurse. His life was spared. Now, once again, remember, Athaliah is an extreme example of wickedness, right? Most of us do not go around murdering our own children. I'm very glad of that. But there are other ways we can destroy our own household. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down." Proverbs 14:11 says, "The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish." You see, when we fail to manage our home well, when we fail to discipline our children, when we fail to guard against wicked influences in the home, we are well on the way to becoming many Athaliahs, destroying our own household, which God has entrusted to us. You have to wonder, it's like, well, what's driving Athaliah here? Why would she do such a wicked thing? What could possibly have motivated her to murder all these children? Let's keep reading, picking up verses 11 and 12. "Because Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jehoram and wife of the priest Jehoiada, was Ahaziah's sister, she hid the child from Athaliah so she could not kill him. And he remained hidden with them at the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled the land." Why did Athaliah kill all the royal sons? Because she wanted to be queen, right? She wanted to rule the kingdom herself. It was pure selfishness, putting herself, once again, in a very extreme way, before the children of her husband. Once again, I pray we are not murderers of our own children. But how often do we selfishly put ourselves first? Right? As parents, we're called to sacrifice for our children. We sacrifice ourselves. We sacrifice our own desires in order to raise our children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Proverbs 28:12 says that when the righteous triumph, there is great elation. But when the wicked rise to power, right, like Athaliah, what happens? Men go into hiding. And that's exactly what happened with Athaliah, right? Jehoshaphat had to hide the young prince Joash. Had to hide Joash from her so that he would not be murdered along with the rest of his brothers. So this was the second mark of Athaliah, the wicked mother. She practiced destructive behavior. She destroyed her own household. She selfishly put herself first. So we've looked at how Athaliah was a bad influence. We've seen how she practiced destructive behavior. Finally, our passage shows us her tragic end. Her tragic end. The first thing we learn here is that all of her plans came to nothing. All that she'd hoped for, all that she'd put into place, all her plans came to nothing. We're going to jump ahead a chapter now, 2 Chronicles 23, and verses 11 through 13. Here's where Jehoiada the priest has been hiding Joash, brings him out of hiding. Time to crown him as king. Jehoiada and his sons brought out the king's son, and they put the crown on him. They presented him with a copy of the covenant and proclaimed him king. They anointed him and shouted, "Long live the king!" And when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and cheering the king, she went to them at the temple of the Lord. She looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance. The officers and the trumpeters were beside the king, and all the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, and singers with musical instruments were leading the praises. And then Athaliah tore her robes and shouted, "Treason! Treason!" For 6 years, Jehoiada the priest successfully hid and protected young Joash from Athaliah. But when he was 7 years old, they couldn't wait any longer, okay? When he was 7 years old, Jehoiada brought Joash out, crowned him as king. They anointed him. Long live the king. People, they are so ecstatic. They're running around. They're cheering. They're rejoicing. They're blowing trumpets. They're singing praises to God. By the time Athaliah figures out what's going on, she tears her robes and she shouts, "Treason! Treason!" Athaliah had destroyed her own household. She selfishly put herself first. She had ruled for 6 years, but now Joash was crowned the rightful king. And in just one moment, in an instant, everything turned around. All of her plans came to nothing. And you know, it may not happen right away, but given enough time, this is always the case with the wicked. God's word guarantees it. Proverbs 10:28 says, "The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing." Proverbs 11:21 says, "Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free." Proverbs 24 advises us, "Do not fret because of evil men or be envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future hope. And the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out." So what finally happened to Athaliah? Tragically, she died a premature and violent death. We see this in the next verses, 14 and 15. Jehoiada the priest sent out the commanders of units of 100 who were in charge of the troops, said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks and put to the sword anyone who follows her." For the priest had said, "Do not put her to death at the temple of the Lord." So they seized her as she reached the entrance of the horse gate on the palace grounds, and there they put her to death. Athaliah lived a wicked life. She eventually died a premature and violent death. Sadly, this is all too common with those who choose wickedness over trusting and following God. Proverbs 10:6 says, "Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked." Proverbs 10:27 tells us, "The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short." Proverbs 11:5 proclaims, "The righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness." Athaliah died a premature and violent death, and you know what? No one missed her. Nobody missed her at all. Look at verses 20 and 21. Jehoiada brought the king down from the temple of the Lord. They went into the palace through the upper gate, seated the king on the royal throne, and all the people of the land rejoiced. And the city was quiet because Athaliah had been slain with the sword. The city was quiet and the people rejoiced. Why? Because Athaliah is gone, right? Somebody said after the first service, "Ding dong, the witch is dead," right? She is gone and the land finally has peace. Proverbs 10:7 says, "The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot." Proverbs 11:10 tells us, "When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices, and when the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy." When Athaliah died, no one missed her. Not only that, they were happy she was gone. I once did a funeral service for a man whose wife had just died. I went to the viewing, to the wake, and he was in exceptionally good spirits. just laughing it up and joking with everybody. And I was a little concerned. I'm not used to seeing this behavior at a viewing or a wake. So I actually went up to talk to him. I said, hey, is everything okay? And he told me with a big smile on his face. He said, Pastor, it's no secret. My wife and I, we did not have a happy marriage. Folks, it's not a good thing when people are happier when you're dead than when you're alive. Athaliah lived a wicked life, and she came to a tragic end. All of her plans came to nothing when Jehoiada, the priest, carefully planned and successfully installed Joash as the rightful king over Judah. She died a premature and violent death as she cried out treason twice, resisted arrest, and perhaps saddest of all, no one missed her when she was gone. You see, the wicked person sows their own seeds of destruction. And Jehoram and Athaliah, husband and wife, these were two extremely wicked people. They were both murderers of their own family members. And they both died premature in dishonorable deaths. We already read about Jehoram. He passed away to no one's regret. And no one missed Athaliah when she died. We read in Galatians, we read it earlier this morning, chapter 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. God is a righteous judge, and the wicked will receive the just punishment for their sin, if not in this life, then certainly in the next. What does this all mean for you and me? Why does this matter to us today? Because the seeds that we sow, they not only affect us, but they affect our families as well. And whether you choose sin or righteousness in this life can have a ripple effect across the generations. Your choices in this life can have an impact for good or for ill on your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. You are writing your own obituary every day. What will it say? Will you leave a legacy of righteousness for the next generation or a legacy of sin resulting in damage, hurt, and pain? A few months ago, I read the following testimony from someone who had just lost his wife to cancer. This is one of the good ones. He wrote, yesterday was the worst day of my life, but the best day ever for my beloved. I will take that deal 100% of the time. 5 years after her cancer journey began, Rhonda stepped into eternity about the time we usually had morning coffee. I grieve. She celebrates. God is wise and good. See, now that's a good testimony. That's a good legacy. As we reflect on Athaliah's life this morning, may we examine our own lives in light of God's word. May we understand how our choices, how our actions affect other people, including our families. No such thing as perfect parents, so may we learn to trust Jesus and ask his help and forgiveness every day. And may we turn our hearts from wickedness and leave a legacy of righteousness that is pleasing to God in every way. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, our heart grieves for the Athaliahs in this world who cause so much hurt and damage. Lord, we ask that you would grant them repentance and faith in Jesus, leading to the forgiveness of sins. Our hearts grieve for the children of the Athaliahs in this world, who suffer so much hurt and damage, and whose lives are pointed in the direction of sin rather than the good path that you have for us. And Lord, we confess this morning that whether we're a good parent or a bad parent, Lord, we are all sinful parents. And Lord, we all have a little bit of Athaliah inside each one of us. And so, Lord, we do need your help and your forgiveness. And Lord, we ask that you would break those bonds of sin, Lord, that could pass on damage to the next generation. Lord, we want to get serious about following you. Lord, help us to learn from the bad example that we had in Scripture this morning, to go forth trusting you and following the good path that you have for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.